At the very last stoplight at a very small town sat an old gentleman on a pink moped. And up comes roaring this gorgeous, huge Harley Davidson with the atypical rider. You know, he had all his leather and all the bandana, the whole works. And the old man looked at that bike and he said, "Man, that is one gorgeous bike." And then the old man said to the biker, "Do you mind if I take a closer look at your Harley?" And the biker said, "Yeah, whatever turns your crank, old man." So the old man leaned over on his moped and he started eyeing every inch of that moped. And man, he said, "I think this thing can fly." And at that very moment, the light turned green and the biker gunned it. And in about 10 seconds, he was doing 100 miles an hour. And then all of a sudden, he looked in his rearview mirror. He saw this black dot. It was behind him, and it was gaining on him. And all of a sudden, that black dot shot past him, went over the horizon. And then all of a sudden, here it comes again, right back to him, straight at him. And this time, the biker can see who it was. It was the old man on that pink moped. It shot past him, went right behind him, and then it boomeranged again, and it started headed right for him again. So the biker slammed on the brakes, and all of a sudden the old man slammed right into the back of that Harley, and that moped was nothing but mangled mess of plastic and metal. And the biker, he had compassion on the old man. So he leaned over and he said, "Sir, is there anything that I can do for you?" And the old man said, "Yeah. Would you mind unhooking your suspenders from your handlebars?" Well, with that said, I believe that as true Christians, we should have our proverbial suspenders, wrapped firmly around the Word of God. And that brings me to my subject today. If you're ready, if you're taking notes, if you want a title, it is The Distinguishing Mark of True Christians. The Distinguishing Mark of True Christians. So we'll go to Mark 4, if you will, Mark 4, 21 through 24. And I just say that, so if you would please put a marker there, because we'll come back to that fairly often. Mark 4, 21 and 34. So now this is just before Jesus had given the parable, if you remember, of the sower and the soil, right? Distinguishing two different types or kinds of soil. The first kind of soil produces nothing. If you remember, that was the first three, the hard soil, the rocky soil. Okay, that's not a hard word for me to pronounce for some reason. The thorny or weedy soil, if you will, producing nothing, as I said. That is, they do not hear the truth of the gospel and respond to it. And then secondly, he talked about three kinds of good soil that produced 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. You remember? That's in Mark 4, verse 20, there, Mark 4, 20. And he then went on to say the difference between the two soils is that the good soil produces, and the bad soil does not hear. It is the hearing of the truth that produces positive results. Hearing it in the sense that you embrace it and you believe it. And that, of course, is what sets believers apart from non-believers. I think we all understand that. Non-believers cannot understand the things of God. They do not hear the gospel with believing, submissive ears. Those who are Christ's do. So we can sum all that up by saying the greatest gift offered to man is salvation, right? Which comes through possessing of God's Holy Spirit. But we would know nothing about that salvation were it not for Scripture. So in reality, the greatest gift is divine revelation and salvation. I think we'd all agree on that. Nothing is more important than divine truth. You have to have the truth to have the hope of glory and to be instructed in righteousness. That's fairly foundational. So the greatest thing that we have is the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. This is divine revelation, and alongside that, the distinguishing mark of true Christians is that they hear and they listen to the Word of God. Now, what distinguishes a true believer is responsiveness to divine truth. It finds a place in their heart. They get it, they understand it, and they respond to it appropriately. Paul says the natural man understands not the things of God. They're foolishness to him. I kind of paraphrase that. If you're taking notes, that's in 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But on the other hand, we who possess His Holy Spirit through baptism are begotten heirs of God. We have the mind of Christ. We embrace divine truth. We hear it. We understand it. We absorb it. We believe it and proclaim it. We live it. And Christ makes that abundantly clear in a lot of places. But just let me give you one illustration of this in John 10. So let's go to John 10. If you keep a marker there in Mark 4. John 10. If I can get there myself. This is where Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd, if you'll recall, and identifies his relationship to his sheep. And I should have gotten some water. My mouth is as dry as the Sahara. And what defines that relationship? In John 10, verses 3 and 4, he says the sheep, in verse 3, hear his voice. And verse 4, at the end of the verse, it says the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And in verse 16 of John 10, he says, I have other sheep. What's he talking about? Well, he's meaning Gentiles along with the Jews. Not of this fold. I must bring them also. Why? Because they hear his voice. And down in verse 26, still in John 10, verse 26, he says, you do not believe because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I'm using the NIV if you haven't noticed yet. One outstanding trait of true believers is believing, is being receptive to the voice of God, which is conveyed to us through the pages of Scripture. And this is where he speaks. This is really the theme of the parable of the sower and the soils that is found in Mark 4, verses 1 through 12. So again, if you kept a marker there, let's go to Mark 4. And we'll just be jumping through verses 1 through 12. There are kinds of soil that do not hear, right? They do not hear and believe in a believing sense. They can read the words, but they do not believe it. That's the world that we live in right now. Superficially, you remember the rocky soil has an emotional response, and the thorny soil has an initial response, but eventually both of them prove to be superficial, shallow, and fruitless in their endeavors. But then there's the good soil, Mark 4, verse 8. And the distinguishing of those good kinds of soil is that they hear the word. They embrace the word. They become fruitful 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. That's our goal. So now we'll jump down to verse 23, still in Mark 4, It says, and just a partial quote there, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, he said that all the way back in verse 9, not everybody hears has ears to hear. Only those who God has called has ears to hear. He's called every last one of us. Not everybody understands divine truth. Everybody in here should understand that. Not everybody gets it. Not everybody believes it, embraces it, loves it, or observes it. And of course, true believers do. What happened when God called you? What did He do? He called you, and the Lord opened your spiritual ears, right, to His truth. All of a sudden, the Word of God took on new meaning, new value, new importance, and you began to hunger for it, just as Peter said, as a babe desires milk, right? You hear it, you get it, you understand it. So if you're among those who can hear, our Lord says, listen. Listen to what He's trying to tell us. And then comes a very important statement in verse 24. In verse 24, I'm going to have to read my notes here because my eyesight's driving me nuts today. And side note, I have a weepy left ear, and sometimes it blurs my vision. did I say ear? I'm talking about hearing, listening, okay? I'm sorry. Left eye, I think, or left eye. It does blur my vision when it's, anyway, so. So to get back on track, we listen. And then comes a very important statement in verse 24. And He said, and He was saying to them, and here's the key statement in Mark 4:24. Consider carefully, says the NIV, consider carefully what you hear. We are the ones who have ears to hear. We know that. Consider carefully what you hear. That's a very important statement to every one of us in this room. In the Greek, it's a real simple phrase. I'm going to attempt to pronounce it. It's blipit tai ekouit. I just slaughtered that name. But I can give you the words later if you want to look them up. It simply means be seeing what you are hearing. Be seeing what you are hearing. Perceive the Word of God thoughtfully. Perceive the Word of God thoughtfully, carefully. It's a simple phrase. And what it calls for is a mental perception of what Christ is saying to every last one of us. Now that's the kind of the heart and soul of this passage, right? And so around that, He has some things to say, and He wants us to understand them. Now, how can we be good listeners? Isn't that a goal of us right now, to be good listeners? How should we listen to the Word of God to make the most out of our calling, especially in the world we live in right now? I've got three characteristics of a good spiritual listener, i.e., mark of a true Christian. Number one, we listen obediently. I'm going to go through them real quickly here. Number two, we listen appreciatively. And number three, we listen confidently. Those words lay out how we are to listen. First of all, we are to listen obediently. Obediently. God demands obedience to Him. We understand that. And it's also an innate obligation bound up with the reception of the truth that we are to apply it in our lives. In other words, it's innate to the truth that we are to respond obediently to it. And He makes this very clear in a couple of very brief little parables, if you will, as found in Mark 4, and if you're still there, Mark 4, 21 and 22. And He said to them in Mark 4, verse 21, and He said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? And verse 22, for there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come out to light. In other words, what Christ is saying, if you're the light, you're supposed to let it shine, right? If you're the light, let it shine. Or if you want to go back to the earlier metaphor, if you will, if you've been given the seed, you're supposed to sow it. If you're given the seed, plant it, and then sow it, reap a harvest. This is innate. This is integral to the very giving of the light, right? So inherent in receiving of divine truth is the reflecting of that divine truth. What is that? It's the Great Commission. Go ye therefore into all the world, right? That's what we're supposed to do each and every day. Each and every day. And secondly, we listen appreciatively. We listen appreciatively. Man, it's a hard word for me to get out today. We listen appreciatively. We listen obediently because God demands obedience, and it's innate. And it's an innate obligation in having the seed and having the light. We listen appreciatively because of the individual opportunity involved. Let's go back to the back half of verse 24, if you're still there, Mark 4, and learn about listening appreciatively. It says, with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Right? And at the beginning of verse 25, it says, for whoever has, to him more will be given. We see again this sowing and reaping imagery. It's all throughout this. And that is to say, God will give you back in return what we sow. That's the point. Galatians 6:7. I'm not going to turn there. I will quote it, though. Whatever a man sows, he reaps. Memory verse. So sparingly, reap sparingly. So bountifully, reap bountifully. That's the basic principle. So the promise is that God will bless the seed that we sow. The Lord will return to you blessing. That's the promise. Do we believe it? That's the promise. It doesn't mean that all the seed that we sow will bring about eventual salvation. That's a biggie. But what it does mean is that you are fruitful to sow the seed of God. But what it does mean is that as you are fruitful to sow the seed, faithful to sow the seed, there goes my eye again, man, I can't read. As you are faithful to sow the seed, God will be faithful to give you in return at his return. Right? Eventual birth into the very family of God. So I say we listen obediently and appreciatively because of the promise of reward. Thirdly, we listen confidently. Confidently. And you know, and as you might know, the disciples were thinking to themselves, okay, all right, Jesus, we're with you to this point, right? We'll be obedient. We'll appreciate everything. We'll be dependent and humble. But what's the end going to be like? How does this thing end? Because in the disciples' eyes, with Jesus there, they're like, this thing looks really small. There's only just a few of us. It's fragile. It's frail. What's this thing going to turn into? He reminds us to listen confidently because of the inevitable outcome. And we all know it. What is it? Well, Mark 4:30, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? They're asking. Or what parable shall we use to describe it? We're still in Mark 4, verse 30. And now looking at the end of it, what's it going to be like? And he then gives a very simple illustration of what the kingdom will be like in verse 31 and 32 of Mark 4. Verse 31, it says, it's like a mustard seed, which when sown in the soil, good soil, which is the smallest of all the seeds on earth, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. What's he talking about there? Well, we all know, but I'm just going to point out a few things. Notice the reference to the birds nesting in its shade. Now, I did a little research. Birds can mean a couple of things. It can mean evil nations. And in this case, it's talking about those nations who once were evil, if you will. But they're now resting under the branches of the kingdom, of the government of God. This is taken right out of Ezekiel 17, 22 and 24. Ezekiel 17, 22 and 24. Go back and read it. It'll open your eyes. That says, under the rule of Messiah, my words, nations will be offered salvation. And the nations are pictured as birds coming to lodge in the tree of blessing, if you will. The government of God. In verse 23, they, the birds / nations, will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of his branches. What an amazing imagery there, right? That is the government of God that will encompass this entire earth. That's borrowed right out of that imagery. You have the very similar use of birds, if you will, in Daniel 4 and verses 10 through 21. That's a really good read too. Daniel 4, 10 through 21. In other words, the coming kingdom of God will encompass this entire earth. We all understand that. So, we are listeners. We are listeners. We hear with understanding, and we are the privileged. Right? We are the privileged. And there we are, right back where I started in the beginning of this message. What's the greatest privilege of a Christian? To know the truth, right? What's the mark of a true Christian? Simply put, our suspenders are firmly hooked around the very Word of God. We know the truth and we love the truth. And how do we listen? Well, we listen obediently, appreciatively, and confidently. What an amazing privilege that has been granted to us, hasn't it? It's an amazing thing. We are only the first fruits of millions to follow. And soon, everyone will have ears to hear and eyes to see.